This was kind of a long week in studying. I knew what I wanted to preach on, but I struggled with how to lay it out to make good sense and to flow well and to have an impact, because that's what I want to have this morning through God's Word, is an impact. Something you can take with you and learn and apply it to your life. I believe this morning that this message, I believe that when I preach it for life and death every time I get in the pulpit. And I really believe that. And today is the same as true. I believe this could, if you take this truth, could help you change your life. I've titled this message, Winning with Manners. Simple title, but you'll understand the impact in a moment here. Winning with Manners. Look at Luke 17, and we're going to be reading verse number 11. And I'll read the first verse, you help me on the second, and you read out loud every other verse with me as we've been doing here recently. Luke 17, verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell on his feet, at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Well, now watch this. This is our text this morning. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, today we thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray, God, that you would now bless, Lord, in the preaching and teaching hour now. Father, may each one be helped. Or perhaps there'll be some this morning that's sitting here in this place that's not sure for a Bible reason that heaven is their home, that they've been saved from their sins. Lord, may today your word and Spirit of God work in their life to confirm that. Lord, may there's some Christians today who are losing the battle, the spiritual battle in their life, who are defeated and discouraged. May today your word be a great help to them, Father. Lord, whatever the need is, Father, I pray for your help, Lord. May you be glorified. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I did some reading again this week on Thanksgiving. And I guess I did not realize that the pilgrims, of course, we look back in October 1621 of when the first Thanksgiving so-called is recorded with the pilgrims and the Indians. But as I was reading that the pilgrims, when they first settled here in America, had many festival days of Thanksgiving and prayer. Not just one, but when they would have a victory or when they would have a harvest or something would go take place, they would call for a day of Thanksgiving and would have it often throughout the year. So I'm thinking that's a great plan, especially since Ethel is a great pie baker. We should have Thanksgiving many, many, many times throughout the year and just have pies. But Thanksgiving, if you think about it, Thanksgiving is not only what your parents taught you were good manners. If you had a good mom and dad, they taught you how to say please and thank you. And so that was a good thing to do. But Thanksgiving is also really spiritual. You can't go through much of the Bible without finding that God exhorts the believer to be thankful. The Psalms is packed full of hymns and psalms of thanksgiving. I have written several down here this morning, but one says in Psalms 92:1, it says, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing, the Bible says. It's a spiritual thing to give thanks unto God. And so this morning I want you to see this morning in our text today the importance of thanksgiving. Because I believe this, as I read the scriptures and I look at our lives, I believe a person that is unthankful is handicapped. Without thanksgiving, the believer is handicapped. In fact, let me show you a verse before I get too far in the message. The message only has 3 points, so we'll go quickly. So let me kind of show you another verse here. But look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 6. I'm going to read this verse. I'll give you 2 statements, then we'll get in the message, all right? Colossians 2 verse number 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There's the victorious, that's the secret, if you will, but it's no secret. Here's the key to victorious Christian life. Amen. As you receive Christ the Lord, then walk ye in him. Amen. Same way you got, say the same way you live, yes, by faith. Dependent upon Christ Jesus. Now look at verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I notice here in the scripture that as a Christian gets born, as a person gets saved, they get born again, they realize I'm a sinner, and without Christ I'm going to go to hell, and so they get saved. And how did you get saved? By faith. So they begin to live by faith. They begin to walk in the Lord and live by faith. And as they begin to grow, they begin to get rooted and established in their faith. And they begin to grow as a Christian. They're being taught the Word of God. And God says as they do that, they abound with what? Thanksgiving. Now here's the two statements. Thankfulness is a grace that springs from faith, adorning the believer in the image of Jesus Christ. When you begin to grow in faith, thankfulness is a natural byproduct of that. It's a product, it's a grace of faith. The next statement is this. Thankfulness is a spiritual weapon that enables the believer to pull down strongholds in their life. Thankfulness is a spiritual weapon that enables the believer to pull down spiritual strongholds in their life. And I want to show this morning from the scripture from our text today in John and Luke 17. So here's the three points of our message this morning, and they'll go by quickly. Number one, we'll notice this, the gloomy condition of the leper. Number two, we're going to also notice, then, just for a brief moment, we're going to notice the gracious consolation of the Savior. Then number three, where we're going to look at some time this morning, because this is where help comes in, is we're going to look at the grateful consideration of the victor. And so I'm going to take those scriptures that we just read here in a moment here and show you how that thanksgiving is a grace of faith that abounds with our faith as faith grows, but it's also a spiritual weapon that God has given us to have victories, to gain victories in our life spiritually. And we give, as adults, I think we give so little heed to thanksgiving and to being thankful. And we forgot what mama taught us and grandma taught us. Hey, say please and thank you. And we do that, I believe that we experience some great victories as a Christian. So let's kind of dive into this morning, and you'll listen to me as I go, and stay plugged in. Don't mind the smells, okay? Because it's all fake news downstairs, fake food. So let's notice, number one, the gloomy condition of the leper. Here in our text today, Jesus Christ is traveling, and he's leaving Jerusalem, and he's going to pass through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And of course, these are cities that, Samaria was a city that the Jews would oftentimes avoid, because in Samaria, there were Samaritans, there were half Jew, half Gentile, they were interbred, they were mixed breed, they were interracial, and many Jews hated that, hated the Samaritans, because they considered them less than they were. And so, this thing of racial prejudice has been around a long time, nothing new under the sun, and we just have to deal with it God's way. Now, we find here that as he passes Samaria and Galilee, he comes to a place in a certain village where there are 10 men, and they were lepers. Now, leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin, but a picture of judgment as well. And when you had leprosy in the Bible, there was no cure for that. And you were exiled oftentimes off to a place by yourself. You could be with other lepers, but you couldn't be around anybody else that was cleansed. It was a very dangerous, very dreadful, very awful disease. This disease would eat your flesh, and would begin to lose parts of your body. You would lose an ear, you'd lose part of your nose, you'd lose part of your fingers, you'd lose your limbs, and eventually would kill you. But it was so contagious that they were forced to live off by themselves in colonies. In fact, if you go to third world countries today, you still find leper colonies where these lepers live because no one wants them around because of the seriousness of the condition. And so we find here that there were ten men were lepers, and one, according to verse 16 that we read, was a Samaritan. So you had 9 Jews and a Samaritan live in this little colony of lepers. Now, the disease, here's my first point of the gloomy condition of the leper. The first thought is this. The disease of leprosy reduced all men to the same condition of infirmity, misery and death. No matter what they were, Jews or Samaritans, they all had the same disease, the same condition. They all were going to die. It reduced them. It ripped away their pride. It ripped away their arrogance. Reduced them on the same level. They had to realize, though we may be Jews and Samaritans here, we all have the same disease. We're all going to die the same awful death. You know what that means to me? The diagnosis of sin is the same for all men. When men realize they're sinners, it reduces all men to the same condition. All men have sinned. The payment for sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we find here that the first thing that God wants us to learn today about these lepers is that they were all the same condition, which is truth the same as all men today and in our world today. Today it makes a difference if you're white, black, yellow, purple, or with pink polka dots. It makes a difference if your parents are rich or poor. It makes a difference this morning if you, pink came from watching Emma's hair. And, I'm going to do my hair like that this week. I'm going to get pink hair. Wouldn't that be cool? Man, I'd rock this stage if I had pink hair. Yeah. I'm too fat to be a youth pastor, those skinny jeans. Yeah, it wouldn't look the same. But we're all men, no matter where you came from, the same when it comes to sin. We're all sinners, rich or poor. And so we find that all men have the same condition, and all men owe the same price. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned. No one's going to escape death, because that is the curse of sin. Now this death is not just only a physical death, but it's also eternal death in hell. So all men have been judged guilty of being sinners because of one man's sin. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. Come on.
Right? And so because he sinned, death passed upon all men. Everybody's, we all sin. Listen, you parents know this. You never teach your kids to sin. It comes by nature. Why? Because they're yours. You gotta teach them to do right. Hey, listen, I never one time taught my kid how to lie. But they got good at it. Yeah. They just come by nature. And so, just as these lepers have all the same condition, so all men have the same condition. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse number 12, they stood afar off. They stood afar off. Leprosy presented the men from getting close to Jesus. Jesus Christ, He's a miraculous healer. He's the wonderful teacher. He's the promised Messiah. But these men, because of their sin, couldn't get close to Him. Because their lepers had to stand afar off and cry out, unclean! Unclean! And that went to people, lepers ahead, cross the road the other side. Don't get too close. And so that they stood afar off from Christ Jesus. Sin prevents men from getting close to Jesus. When men are sinners without being born again, it prevents any man, regardless of who they are, from getting close to Jesus Christ. But now watch this. Verse number 13 says, these 10 men prayed for mercy. Verse number 13 says, they lifted up their voice, said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here is the prayer of faith. They realize their condition. They realize that they were lepers. They were going to die with their leprosy. No man could help them. There was no cure for that. But Jesus could cure them. And so they cry out by faith, Lord Jesus, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And the fate of these 10 men were in Christ Jesus. If they could find no mercy, they were condemned to die in their leprosy. The fate of the sinner is the same as true for us. For you and I, we must find mercy in Jesus Christ. There is no other place to find mercy. We must find mercy in Christ Jesus. Psalms 86:5 says this, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In Psalms 130, verse 7 and 8, God says this, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. This morning we find that mercy can only be found in Christ Jesus. We too are like these 10 lepers. Say, preacher, I don't have leprosy, but if you are alive today, you have sinoprosy. You have sin in your life.
Come on, yes, sir.
And you can't, and no matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And so our only hope is to find mercy in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He is ready to give mercy to all those that call upon Him. Now watch this. The world has no mercy. The world is a thief and a robber. The world has no mercy. If you live in the world and live for the worldly pleasures and your hope is, I want to find peace or mercy in drugs or drinking or fornicating, and you can chase those things, but you never find mercy in those things. They don't give you mercy. Drugs never give anyone mercy. Beer and alcohol, though it may be what the world lives for, never gives any man or woman mercy. There's no mercy there. It robs you. Satan has no mercy. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour and destroy. Good works have no mercy. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I'm a sinner, but I'm going to get saved by doing good works. And when God sees my good works, He'll have to let me in. Your good works have no mercy because in God's sight, your good works are as filthy rags. God said they're wicked. No matter how good your works may be, they're wicked without Christ. Religion has no mercy. Religion attempts to make men, attempts to redeem fallen men. Attempts to make men better. Doesn't matter what denomination it may be. Without Christ, there is no mercy in religion. If your hope is in a program or a denomination or in a certificate or in a sprinkling or in a confirmation, there's no mercy there because it can make men look good, but it can't make men a new creature. It can make men look religious, but it can't make men converted. It cannot make men a new person on the inside. The heart is still empty and black with sin. So religion, churches, denominations offer no mercy. Money has no mercy. It grows wings and flies away quickly. There's no mercy in money. You see, only Jesus Christ can give mercy. Only Christ, and He said in Himself that no man can come to the Father but by Him. You can only find mercy in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you are dependent upon a work or a good deed that you've done or a church membership or a baptism, there's no mercy in that. It'll leave you on your way to hell. Only Christ can give mercy. And these men knew that and said, they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Number two, watch this now. The graceful consolation of the Savior. Verse 14 says this. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus sends them to be restored. Now Jesus Christ is a great God of compassion. We find in one place in Mark chapter 1:41, he dealt with another leper the same way. He says, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And he cleansed the leper the same as these 10. Now these 10, he tells them, he gives them the Old Testament procedure, or the procedure to be declared clean. See, in the Old Testament, if you had leprosy, you had to go to the high priest and he had to examine you. And if he didn't find any spot upon you, he would say, you're clean, and put you back in the community. You're established. You're declared clean. So he tells them this Old Testament practice. But he's wanting to see their faith. And when they respond in faith and begin to go, here's what happened. As they're leaving to go to the high priest, they begin to see their skin change. They begin to see their scabs heal over, disappear. Once where there was pus and blood and ooze, now there's cleansing. They've been healed now. They can feel their faces, and there's no pockets of leprosy. There's no open sores. There's no open wounds. They have been cleansed now. And because of their response to Christ Jesus, they've been cleansed and saved, if you will, from their leprosy. You see, and that's what Christ is waiting for you. He calls on all men to deliver all men from their sin and to save all men. But men must respond to the Lord's leading conviction. And when we respond, not by trying to say, Lord, here's my good works, Lord. I said, I don't want that response. But Lord, here's my baptismal certificate. I was baptized as a youth. I don't want that response. But Lord, I was a member of a church for all those years. Lord, look at my membership certificate. I don't want that response. I want you to respond by placing your faith and trust in me. And faith alone cleanses a man from their sin. And so these Samaritans now, they place their faith in Christ Jesus. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Let me show you a few scriptures this morning. Look at the book of John chapter 3. I don't think there's any better place in John chapter 3 to go about showing faith. Look at John chapter 3. This is the Bible now. It's not a Baptist thing. This is the Bible this morning. And here's what we need to learn. We need to learn that the Bible has the final authority in my life because the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
How should we get saved? What's the Bible say?
Right.
Now in John chapter 3 verse 14, watch what the scripture says here. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believe. Now that's just saying that Christ must be crucified. Now listen, if you can get saved by doing good works, by being a member of a church, then why should Christ have been crucified? If you just go get sprinkled somewhere and somebody sprinkle you or put you in a class and say, you know what, everything's fine and dandy, go your way, then Christ wasted his time being crucified, paying for our sins. So, well, preacher, but my mom and dad were Baptists and were saved. That's not going to get you to heaven. Now watch what it says here. Here's why Christ is crucified, verse 15. That whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. So how does God loved the world so much. While we were lepers, if you will, while we were sinners, he loved us and he sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world. Christ didn't come the first time to condemn and to judge, but he came to save and to heal. So he came and he died upon Calvary for us, and the Lord Jesus, and God says this, if you'll just believe in Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If you believe, you have everlasting life. He didn't say if you do good things. He didn't say if you join 14 churches. He didn't say if you get baptized 35 times. He didn't say if you got sprinkled or confirmed or went through a discipleship class in your church. He said, listen, if you believe on Christ Jesus, thou shalt be saved. You're no longer condemned. And so how's a person saved? The same way the lepers were, by faith.
Amen.
By faith. And when we do that, you know what the Lord does? He cleanses us of all our sin.
Amen.
Look at the book of 1 John chapter 1. So here we see the graceful consolation of the Savior. What is grace for? To save men from their sin. To give us what we do not deserve. Book of 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Watch the scripture says this. 1 John 1, way to the back. The Revelation. Life is bad in the church. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's talking about our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The lepers were cleansed from all the leprosy. They were cleansed. Right? The same is true of the sinner. When we walk in the light, it's in light, we have fellowship with God Almighty. We have peace with God. That's what we need to go to heaven. Peace with God. And Jesus Christ, his Son, he cleanses us from all our... You name the sin, he cleanses you from it. But preacher, you understand what sins I have done in my life. It doesn't matter what it may be. He cleanses that sin. You know, as you begin to walk along with him, you begin to look down and say, listen, wait a minute, my sins are gone, they've been cleansed, I'm no longer marked by them, there's no more pus and ooze and blood, hey, I've been cleansed from all my sin.
Amen.
That's the grace of the Savior. He cleanses everyone that comes to him, he cleanses from their sin. Now here's the message. Here's what I want you to see this morning for those that need some help spiritually. Look back at our text. Let's notice with me the grateful consolation of the victor. The grateful consideration of the victor. In Luke 17, look what takes place now. So they're cleansed. They're going along and they're like, wait a minute, we're no longer lepers. Leprosy is gone. Verse number 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He fell down at his feet, gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So salvation stemmed from a prayer of faith. And they all enjoyed that promise. Thankfulness stemmed from the praise of faith that placed one at the feet of the Savior. You see, thanksgiving, thankfulness, being thankful is a spiritual weapon that when used in this man's life, did something for him that the other nine did not experience. Were they all cleansed? Yes, they were all cleansed. But this man experienced something that the nine did not experience. And today I want to show that to you to be a help to you. Let me, under this point, give you four thoughts quickly. First of all, there's this: thankfulness sacrifices. Thankfulness sacrifices. Verse 15, the Bible says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. This cleansed Samaritan glorified and thanked God with a loud voice. It was not just a small thank you, but with a loud voice. It wasn't a whisper, with a loud voice, he thanked God for what he had done for him. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, true thankfulness is neither unashamed, and it's verbal. There's power in, by the way, there's power in the spoken word. We don't understand that, but the Bible says there's life and death in the tongue. There's power in the spoken word. And this man, when he realized he was healed, he gave a thanksgiving, a sacrifice. With a loud voice, turned back and said, listen, Jesus, a great master, thank you, we glorify you. Unashamed, he was identifying with Christ Jesus. He made it verbal. You see, verbal praise. True thanksgiving is unashamed, and it's always verbal. Psalms 98:4 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. There's something to be said about verbally praising and thanking Jesus Christ. Listen, verbal praise and thanksgiving publicly identifies you with the Savior. When I verbally thank the Lord, this is why I believe that when you go out to eat, you should bow your head close, you should bow your head and say a word of prayer. Because public thanksgiving identifies you, I'm a Christian, I'm with Jesus Christ. But it sacrifices my human pride. It slays my pride, it slays my arrogance, it slays my comfort zone. Now watch this. The flesh, the world, the devil are unable to stand where there is open praise and thanksgiving of the Savior. Now catch that. We're in a spiritual battle this morning. The devil hates you. Your flesh hates the things of God. The world wants to use you. And so we have these enemies that are against us. But God, He loves us and He's for us. So we're in this spiritual battle between good and right, between heaven and hell, between good and evil. And the Bible reminds us today that when we give God open praise and thanksgiving, that the devil and my flesh and the world can't stand in the presence of open praise to God. My flesh has to be subdued. The devil has to flee and the world shrinks away. And so verbal praise, open praise, loud praise and thanksgiving. Why is there so much sometimes defeat in the house of God? Thanksgiving is that grace of faith that grows and abounds, but it's also a spiritual weapon. So thanksgiving sacrifices. Thanksgiving number, the second thing is this, thankfulness sanctifies. So not only did he identify himself with Christ, but it sanctified him. Watch what it says here. Verse number 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. There was, just a few verses prior to this, he was afar off. Unclean! Unclean! Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us, Master! Save us from our leprosy! Afar off, he cried out. And Christ called back to them and said, listen, go show yourself to the priest and be thou cleansed. And as they went their way, they're like, whoa, man, we're being cleansed. And this one man, he turns back and he goes back. And now, once he was afar off, now he's close to Jesus Christ. What brought them there? Thankfulness. They were all cleansed, by the way. all the same promise, the same blessings. But this man, his thankful spirit put him at the feet of Christ Jesus. You know why so many of us can claim salvation but not victory? Unthankfulness. Thankfulness in our life puts us at the feet of Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What does that mean? That means draw close to God in your heart. Draw close to Him. Draw nigh to Him. We're told in the book of Psalms 95:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. So thankfulness, true thankfulness, sincere thankfulness places us at the feet of Jesus. What better place to be, Christian, this morning? Well, there's so many of us that we're far from the Savior. Oh yeah, we can say we're cleansed, we're saved, we're going to heaven, but in our hearts we're far from the Savior. I've had to admit that recently my heart's got a little cold. I've been dealing with some pain in my life for several months. And I've tried to hide it and tried to do the best I can. But if you're not careful, it begins to grow your heart cold. Pretty soon you realize, I've been unthankful. But when you're unthankful, you begin defeated. Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm defeated. So thankfulness sacrifices. He says, Lord, I don't care who anybody thinks. I'm a praiser. You know, those that want to make fun of people that praise and worship loudly are those probably unthankful in the house of God. Those that want to say, hey, you know, don't get carried away. Those are the folks that are probably unthankful. Far from God. But we find in the scripture, I know that we're Midwesterners. I know that we're farm type people that we keep our feelings to ourselves. But the Bible says with a loud noise they can praise God. And in that, there's true thanksgiving. Now watch this. The next thing I want you to see is this. And I'm getting close to the punch here. Thankfulness separates. Not only am I drawn closer to the Lord, but as this leper got close to the Lord said, listen, weren't there 10 of you? Weren't there 10 of you? But not only one, is at my feet praising me, thanking me. You know what thankfulness does? Separates you from 90% of other people. Think about that. Believers and unbelievers alike. Hey, you want to get rid of your unsaved friends? Start praising God. Dear Lord, I mean, right there with your friend. Dear Lord, thank you for this meal we're about to eat. And that guy's going to believe that he's going to get saved. And he's like, that dude's a little bit crazy. Hey, you want to see your true friends in the house of God are? Start praising God. Start being thankful to God. And your thankfulness will either convict carnal Christians or chase carnal Christians away. And by the way, I want to love and be kind to all people, but I don't want to hang around carnal Christians. And so being thankful separates you from 90% of people that aren't going God's direction. That's good. Now here's the punch. Thankfulness. And by the way, may I say to you that in the end times, the Bible says in the end times, men will become unthankful. Mark who your company is. Lastly is this. And here's the punch, and I want you to see this. And there's a few verses I want you to turn to for help our understanding this morning. But it'd be helpful if you do that. Thankfulness saves. Look at verse 19. Here's the point now. They've already saved, but thankfulness saves. Now watch this. Watch what again. It said unto him, verse 19, unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith. Wait a minute, God equates thankfulness and faith together. They're a part of the same grace. Thy faith hath made thee, what's the next word? Whole. Whole and cleansed aren't quite the same. Now I was going to hold this back until afterwards, but I'm going to give it to you right now and explain it to you as we go along. 9 men were cleansed. 10 men were cleansed initially. Their leprosy was, it's gone. No more scabs. No more ooze. No more pain. And they reached up and when there was no ear, now it's just all healed over. They looked down and when there was no fingers, now it's just all healed over. A stump, but a heel was healed over. They were cleansed from leprosy. They were cleansed and now they could go home to be with their family. But this one drew down to Christ. And he was in a spiritual battle of his life. He needed to thank God for what he'd done for him. And thank God for salvation. His heart was full of thanksgiving. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this thy faith hath made thee. Oh, that's the only man cleansed. He reached up where once was the ear had fallen off. And wait a minute. Oh, I'm cleansed. But my ear is back. And my nose is back on. And my fingers that I lost. My hand is whole. I got fingers again. You know where that came from? Thankfulness. Thankfulness is a spiritual weapon that gives Christians victory over spiritual bondage. Now watch this. Look at Romans 1:21. Let me build you my case, and we'll go eat. Romans 1:21. Look at this. The Bible here, Romans chapter 1, describes men and their journey away from God. How did men become so reprobate and vile in their life? And it begins to tell us where that came from. Look at verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So how did men get so wicked? When they knew who God was, they said, we don't want nothing to do with God. No, God, I'm not going to glorify You. I'm going to glorify me, my way. I'm not going to submit to Your laws and Your rules and Your word. It's my way or the highway. Now watch the very next step. Neither were thankful. Because of being unthankful, watch this, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, if you read down through the rest of that chapter, men do some pretty wicked and vile things. You know where it began? Saying, God, I don't want nothing to do with You. I'm not thankful for one thing You've done for my life. Not at all. And when they become unthankful, no gratitude, their imaginations were darkened, became vain. Now watch, go to this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This to the right, keep on going to the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse number 3. So after being unthankful, the foolish man becomes vain in their imagination. Their heart is darkened. They reject Christ. They hate the Bible. They're reprobate in their heart and their mind. They start a downward journey in their life that began with being unthankful. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. God says we're not in an earthly battle here. Look at verse number 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not like guns and knives and, you know, things like that. But mighty through God, to pulling down of strongholds. Verse number 5, casting down imaginations, every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, God says that without thankfulness, what happens to our imaginations? Become vain. They exalt themselves against God. So I find here that if you follow the progression, if unthankfulness causes my mind and my imagination to be against God, the spiritual weapon that we have in our arsenal to fight against that is being thankful. It pulls down these strongholds in our life, these lies that the devil brings to us. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I said before that thanksgiving is a grace of faith. Look back at Luke 17. Let me show you something here. Coming down the pike here. I hope it's all lining up in your mind, making sense to you. Luke 17, watch this. Look at verse number 3. This is an incident just prior to the story of the lepers. Watch this. Verse number 3. Take heed to yourselves, Luke 17:3. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now forgiveness is a spiritual weapon against bitterness. Right? God gives us forgiveness so that when we forgive our brother, we defeat bitterness and anger and resentment. Watch what the disciples said next. He said, and the apostle said this, Lord, increase our faith. Because faith is a grace of, forgiveness is a grace of faith. It's also a spiritual weapon. So when the Lord said, listen, here you're going to be in a spiritual battle to hate your brother, to not forgive him. That results in bitterness that defiles you and many, and everybody else around you. It's a spiritual battle we're in. So he said, listen, if your brother trespassed against thee, forgive him! Forgive him! How many times? As many as it takes, forgive him! And the apostle said this, Lord, increase our faith. Maybe they were married. They know, hey, I need help! I got a mother-in-law! Increase our faith. Well, we see that same truth now with thanksgiving. All men have been cleansed. Only one man was made whole. All men can enjoy salvation. All men can profess, I'm saved from the heaven, but since they've been forgiven. But do all men experience victory? There are some in this room that you might, you're saved, but you got an anger problem. You're always angry. You got a lust problem. You're always lusting, envious, greedy. You might, I'm saved, preacher, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, but I love fornication. You can be saved and cleansed, but not made whole. Not victorious. And the Lord says, forgiveness that you get by faith, that kills the sin of bitterness. And thankfulness kills the sin of pride, of arrogancy, of vanity. It squashes the spirit of anger, animosity, and strife. It celebrates grace and mercy and love and unity. You know how hard it is to be thankful and be angry at the same time? You ever tried that? Be thankful, be angry. Listen, thankfulness kills anger. You ever try to be thankful and fight with your wife at the same time? It's like an ox. How do you do that? I don't know. We all try, though, don't we, men? I am thankful, woman! But when you're thankful, it's a spiritual weapon that we have in our arsenal that makes the believer not just cleansed, but whole. Now listen to this, and I'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, in everything give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Now watch this. If you're not going through a hard time, you've been through one. If you've not been through one, you're fixing to go into one. We all face, life is just battles. Life is hard, can be hard. Life can be difficult. But you can be whole in the battle. You can be victorious in your marriage and raising children and finding a job and in your courtship and your dating life, in your relationships, in your finances. Where's the beginning of it? He said, listen, in your battle, in your hardship, in your relationships, in everything, give thanks. That means this, Lord, I ain't got money to pay the bills, but I'm so glad I've been eating good. Hello? You just left me at that point. See, our problem is we focus on that problem, and then becomes the greatest thing in our life. We got 45 other things that we can be thankful for. We focus on that one thing. Oh my God, man, I got this one problem. Well, you got 75 other things that you should. Lord, I'm thinking that my wife loves me, and for 29 years they've stuck by me and has seen my vision in my heart and doesn't judge me. Well, I've got four boys that have been saved and redeemed and are trying to serve you the best they can. Lord, I live in a house I don't deserve. I have a car I don't deserve. Lord, I'm going to heaven. But we want to focus on that. You know why you're angry? Because you've forgotten all those other things. And you choose to be ungrateful in your battle. Yeah, but my parents! Yeah, and you're an idiot. Yeah, but my mom and my dad! You got the best mom and dad in the world. You'll be thankful for who you have. Be thankful. When we're thankful, we win spiritual battles. You know why husbands and wives get divorced? I'll tell you where it began. Somewhere along the process, somebody came unthankful. See, at one time when you first met Mr. Wright, You're like, whoa, I'm so thankful he's in my life. And now you can't see the same look upon him. I don't even want to smell him. Not because you're unthankful. All you can see is his bad things. You're not like, Lord, thankful that my husband doesn't drink. Doesn't go to the tavern at night, flirt with women and come home. Lord knows what time of the night, what he's done. Thank you for my husband, Lord. Lord, thank you for my wife. And thankfulness. Listen, tell you something. Some of you right now are suffering defeat, and it comes back to winning with manners. We want some, like, well, if God would give you money. Nope, you still wouldn't be thankful because you'd blow that for one thing. Don't look at me like that. You know you would. You wouldn't pay your bills and get out of debt. You're going to go buy a boat or some mobile or a new TV or buy a new car or something crazy. Because, you know, here's how we think. For so long I've been struggling, I'm going to splurge.
There you go.
You've been splurging all. That's why you're where you're at, because you're splurging.
There you go.
What if you just get thankful? Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm eating. Eating. Listen, there's nobody here that can't deny you've been eating. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, is a great verse that talks about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is actually victorious Christian life. And if you read that verse long down through, if you don't just stop at the verse that says, be ye filled, you begin to find then other indicators of a Spirit-filled Christian. And that last verse of that verse number 20 says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, how do I get victory in my Christian life? In everything, give thanks. Now, some of you have been in the battle of your life these last few years. But you know how you can come up victorious? In that battle, in that dark hole of you that you're living in that discouragement, you find something and say, God, I'm going to hang on to this because this is what I can be thankful for.
Amen. That's good.
And in that battle, in that heartache, be thankful.
And
these last few months, I've been unthankful because I focused on just one battle, one hurt. That's been my main focus for several months. And in doing so, I've forgotten that, wait a minute, I've got a wife that loves the fire out of me. I got a church that supports me and that God has placed me in. I get to minister to God's people on a weekly basis. I enjoy the house I live in and the things that God has, well, I got to be thankful for. But then I want to be Spirit-filled as well. An indicator of being Spirit-filled is in giving thanks for all things. You know, being Spirit-filled is an indicator of being thankful, but also being Spirit-filled is to be thankful. It kind of feeds each other. The more thankful I become, the more Spirit-filled I am. The more Spirit-filled that I am, the more thankful I become. So, morning Christian, I don't want you to leave here just cleansed. Let me tell you something. If you've not been saved today, you need to get cleansed, first of all. You got to get cleansed. Because if you reject the Savior, if you reject Jesus Christ and rely on good works, and rely on your church membership, rely on baptism, you will meet Christ face to face and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll go to hell, a sinner.
Truth,
we're here today to preach the gospel. Listen, you don't have to go to hell because Christ paid the debt for you.
Amen.
Just cry out and say, Lord, save me. And by faith, he'll save you.
Yes.
Today, if you've been cleansed, why would you want to be made whole? You know, I don't want to go the rest of my life missing an ear and half a nose and no fingers. I want victory. I want to be made whole. Where's the key? The loud voice. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for cleansing me. And as he thanked God, he looked down. My fingers are back.
Amen.
The Lord said this, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the Lord puts thanksgiving and faith together. Aren't we to live by faith? As we walk by faith, don't we please Him by faith? Thanksgiving is a grace of faith. And thanksgiving is a spiritual weapon that we pull out and say, devil, you're not going to make me lose this battle. I'm going to find something to be thankful for in this battle. And I'm going to praise my Savior. And thanksgiving will squish and squash and kill selfishness and pride and arrogancy. It makes the spirit of anger flee. It squashes animosity and strife. And it celebrates mercy and grace and love and unity. Thanksgiving is resisting the devil. Thanksgiving is engaged in weapons of faith, and they're mighty. You want some victory in your life? Just try to get up and say, Lord, today I'm just thankful for you, for the food I eat, the clothes I wear. But be sincere about it. Come to an old-fashioned church like this, get a hymnal and sing loud. You can tell folks who are truly thankful by the way they sing in the choir, special music, on the hymns. Folks that are thankful. Man, they got a smile on their face. They don't care if they're on key, out of key, or have a key at all. They just want to sing out loud, and they're loud. They're a little bit obnoxious to you, they're a little more refined. But they just know that, they just know they're in a great place with the Savior. You can see it. You can see it. Today, have you suffered defeat? Be cleansed and be free from your bondage with thanksgiving. Lord, today we come to you, and I pray that those that are listening this morning, first of all, that everyone that hears the preaching today would be saved. Father, don't let anybody slip out of here this morning, out of this room, not knowing for sure that if they die today, that heaven is their home.